last night I touched on just for a moment, just this year, 2017, and where I want to be in terms of my relationship with God, because that what I stress is relationship, not religion, and where your relationship with God needs to go or should be. And then collectively, we all get there together. Let's not leave anybody behind. Okay? Let's not, I don't care. The weakest person in this church is needed. But check this out. The weakest person in the church may not be weak. The weakest person is just weaker than everybody that's in there. But they may be a superman. And they're the weakest one. The strongest one, my goodness. Look what Jesus did. Look what Paul did. Look what those disciples did. They turned this world upside, the Bible says, upside down. And then when the law said you couldn't preach in that name, they said, you know what, it's better to obey God than man. Go on, put me in prison. Lock me up. We'll get the singing up in there. And we'll get the praising. And we'll get to honoring God, and your prison can't hold us. When you obey God fully and completely, and you don't dishonor him by acting like we don't know him, because somebody don't like us mentioning the name of Jesus. They don't mind us talking about God. They don't mind us saying maybe we go to church, but they don't like that name. Demons get agitated, man. You can talk about God but on your job, but don't talk about Jesus. Talk about Hinduism. Talk about Jehovah's Witnesses. Talk about Islam or whatever. But it's something about that name that when you mention that name, we got to file a lawsuit. Why? Because that name is above every name. Man doesn't like that because man, like Lucifer did, wants to put himself on the throne. He wants to be his own God, and it's not going to happen. Man has not created one thing. God created all things. I said this to my elders this morning in my office. God created, the Bible says all things were created for us. God is the creator of everything. Man can only do what God allows him. He still doesn't know everything. Just because we got the internet doesn't mean we got it. And just because we have an abundance of information, it doesn't mean we know it. It just means you know about it. There are a lot of people who know about God, but they don't know him. The Israelites, I show my acts. They saw my deeds. They show what I did, and they saw, really, what I didn't do. But Moses, I show my ways. Now, which one you want? You just want to know his history? Jesus healed the blinded eyes, he raised the dead. You know what he did. Or do you want to know him? In the power of his resurrection. And in, don't leave this out, because I know my great positive preaching people, they'll lead us out. And in the fellowship of his suffering. Yeah. Well, that was a good one. That was a hallelujah moment. That was an amen, preacher. Oh, yeah, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. But I also want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Because Jesus learned obedience. The Bible says, don't lead us out. It's in there. Jesus learned obedience by the things he endured. You can't get around that. You know how we're going to learn obedience? By what we endure. Because you know what? Circumstances can make you stronger. Check this out. Circumstances should never change your relationship with God. You should never be, in a negative sense, effective in a negative way by circumstances. Nobody likes going through something negative. I don't. Everybody likes enough of everything. They want enough food. They want enough. No, better not talk about food, about going to fast. they want enough money, enough this and all that. Hey, when will we get to the point that, man, I just don't have enough of God? I got to have more. I got to hunger. See, God won't make you hungry. God will feed you when you're hungry, but he won't make you hungry. He won't make you thirst after him, but he'll give you water, which is the word. He'll give you water when you do thirst. And when he will not make himself known to you if you don't want him to. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit only goes where he's welcomed. All you can say, he only goes where he's invited. And if the welcome mat is not out, he doesn't break in the door. Matter of fact, he chose disciples. If they don't receive you, leave the dirt in their yard there. Don't even take their influence with you. Shake it off. I don't want the dust that's on your doorstep walking with me. That's it. That's some serious separation there. The word church means called out one, called out, separated. That's not being preached today, but it's true anyhow. We are called out of this world. Not because we're better, but we are better off. If you're born again and you don't see that you're better off, something wrong with your walk. I'm better off. I didn't say I was better than a sinner. I was a sinner who got saved by grace. All have sinned and fallen short. Guess what? I had fallen short. The moment I was born, I was doomed. Because of one person's stupidity. Name was Adam. He let the devil, serpent, talk to his wife. Y'all better listen, men. Husbands and fathers. Don't let serpents talk to your daughters. I said, don't let them. Step in the middle. You know what it means to intervene? Step in the middle. Devil talking to you. You know who the devil is. He don't come saying I'm the devil. He come with his pants sagging, saying, yo, what's up? Don't say, sir, what's up? You need to stand in between and say, no, my name is not what's up. My name is address me as. That'll get their attention. People not used to, they're not used to people talking to them like that. They're not. Man, it's like everybody just go with the program. No, my name is. At least when you come in my house, address me as such. Whether it's Mr. and my name or sir. Now, if you can't do that, and I would love to welcome you to my house. But if you can't do that, you're not welcome. Stand out in the yard and talk. No, you ain't bringing it in my house. Stand out in the yard. Go what you got to do. If we don't respect people on earth, how are we going to respect God? If I don't have self-respect, how will I respect you? I can't. The reason I love you and I respect you is because I love God first. I love myself, not in some perverted way. Stay with me. I love myself and I have some self-respect. Okay, let's get into the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3. Again, I touched on this yesterday. This is dealing with trust. Your relationship with God has to start here. It doesn't start with God in the sense of God needing to trust you. He made you. You didn't make yourself. So it all started with God. God decided you would be. He decided you, if you're going to be black, if you're going to be white, if you're going to be male, if you're going to be female, if you're going to be born in America, if you're going to be born in some other country. He decided when you were going to be born. God made those decisions. None of us were in our mother's womb deciding things. None of us. Looking for somebody who would agree with us. No, God made the decision. He knew how tall you were going to be. He knew how short you were going to be. He knew how big you were going to be. He knew how small you were going to be. He knows everything about you. The Bible says he's numbered the hairs on our head. And over the years, he had to put some minus signs. Because, you know, back in the day. Now, I like to brag about back in the day because it was out here. And I seen some pictures of some folk, you know, back in the day, Reverend Tom, he laughing. That thing was out there, bruh. I mean, when the wind blew, we took your head back, didn't it? Now all of a sudden the wind blew now and you ain't feeling nothing. but he still knows. Look, he knows what's left. He knows everything about us. And he wants to have a relationship. He doesn't want just religion. He doesn't want you just coming to church. He doesn't want you just, as I said last night, just to read your Bible. God doesn't want you doing him favors. He wants a life. But God, I read today, I did my favor for the day. And you owe me 30, 60, or 100 fold. I put my money in church today. You owe me. That's not a relationship. What kind of relationship with that? If every time somebody you do something, you send them a bill. And yet people will approach God that way. They're sending God a bill. I did this. I sung today. I danced today. Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Hardy. Now, see, last night, both of them, they persevered last night. See, both of them were dealing with, you know, just the winter season, I guess, in their body. You know, they were dealing with colds. And they persevered. I mean, they were up here singing. Now, I'm not a singer, but I do talk. And I know, I mean, when you kind of clogged up and stuffed up and got tissues, you know, one moment you're singing and then you're dabbing your nose and all that. That God loves that. Yeah, he'll heal you. But man, that says more to me than a perfect voice. Because it came out of sacrifice. And remember, anything that's of value to God and the kingdom must come out of personal sacrifice. If it didn't cost you anything, you gave nothing. The woman that had the two mites. Jesus said, gave more than anybody. Why? She gave out of sacrifice. That can be anything. That can be your time. That can be your energy. That can be your money. It can be anything. God wants a relationship. And it starts with this word in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. The first word, trust. The beginning of my relationship with God. God, I trust you. Now, I don't have all the answers. And I can't be prepared in advance for every possible situation that can come up. Because I don't know every possible adversity and circumstance and situation that can come up. That's why I have to trust you, because this is a faith walk. And it's not just naming it and claiming it. It's not just trying to get stuff. It's not just trying to get healed. It's, hey, wait a minute. I don't know what's coming the next second, let alone the next minute, let alone the next hour, let alone the next day and week and month and year and decade. I don't even know. So I have to trust you that you, according to the Bible, which you're going to read, that you're directing my path. You are ordaining my steps. And no matter what happens or what comes my way, as long as I know that God is ordaining my steps, I'm heading in the right direction. Well, where you going, Pastor? I don't know. But God is ordaining my steps. I'm going in the right direction and I'm pressing in and pressing through whatever I have to press in and press through. Because my God's alive and well. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. God wants all of you. God says, don't you leave out anything. Talking about you just, I just going to give God a tenth. God said, man, I want your life. You think I'm trying to get 10% of your money? I'm trying to get your life. So is the devil. But he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll get you caught up in religion. You're dealing with 10%. I ain't giving my money to that church. 10%? And get you caught up in the 10%, and you don't understand. You don't give the devil 100. Because he's a master at religion, and he's a master at deception. Don't you take the devil on without God. I'm going to say that again. You better not take him on without God. Now, with God, he's a defeated foe who has but a short time. But if you want to mess with a bad boy without God, you're going to lose. He's a master at religion. Religion means that on the outside, you will look like the real deal, and so will he. But on the inside, there is a devouring wolf inside that is just waiting to destroy you. And the thing that he'll use to destroy you, think about this now. Whatever you lust for will eventually destroy you. Now, you may think I'm talking about something bad. You can lust for anything. You can lust for religion. Some people so active in church, Jesus ain't came out of their mouth in 20 years, but they're active in church. Some people they lust for attention. They will do anything, good or bad, to get it. No matter what they do, they want to. If they do something good, they want to parade. And if they don't get the parade, they'll do something bad. They want not only the pastor's attention, they want everybody's. But that thing will eventually destroy you. God doesn't want you to lust for him. He wants you to love him. Both start with the letter L. Yet they're so different. When a couple comes to me and pastor, we want to get married. You loving or you lusting? What are you doing? That's why some people don't come to me. Because I'm going to ask. You loving or you lusting? Because the honeymoon will be over in about a week. You know what? Then y'all got to get along for about 40 years.
That's right.
Right? Man, if you're getting married based on lust, man, I got news to you. It ain't lasting.
That's right.
Because as you get older, things are going to change. And both of you.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the floor. See, I got to look at you. I can't look at nobody. I better move on. Looking at the clock back there too. It's right. Yes. We did start at 10:30, not 10 o'clock. So, and oh, I know some people were here early. I don't know if you got to worry, but we started at 10:30. Just let you know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And listen, lean not to your own understanding. I don't know it all. I've been saved, what? Close to 40 years now. Been in ministry over 30 years. Been, you know, my wife and I went to school and got degrees. Means that it doesn't mean the degree doesn't mean we know everything. It does mean we know something. But it doesn't mean we know everything. I'm still learning. I want God. I still need you. I need more of you. I want to keep the fire going. I don't want to get you to the point. I don't want to get you to the point where I feel like, oh man, I've arrived, I made it, I know it all now. God, I know. Okay, I got the totality of who you are. I read the Bible now, and I'm amazed at the things I read and say, man, I never saw that. Did anything ever happen to you? I mean, you've been reading the Bible for decades. Grew up, many of you grew up in church, and your dad was a minister or deacon. Your mom was the organist, or maybe she was a minister or deaconess. I mean, you've been they taught you to not only read the Bible, but to memorize scripture, which we don't even do anymore. I mean, we got stuff on screens now and on the internet. We don't even tell people to memorize. I mean, the best many folk can do is Jesus wept. That's about it. We don't even, you know, but back way back in the day, I mean, you would have Bible study in the home. You didn't wait to get to church. Your first church was your home. Your first pastor was your daddy and mama. The church was to encourage and support the home. Man, we lost all that. People want to send their children to Sunday school, let the Sunday school teacher raise their children. Or to send them to public school, let the public school system raise their children. Let the television raise their children. Let the internet raise their children. So who that pastor now? Not me. I'm still not that pastor. The devil says I'm that pastor. I'm feeding them stuff. And they know how. I don't have my phone up here. These little 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old children can get your phone and order stuff. Oh, no, you listen. I got 2 granddaughters. 5 and 4 years. They can take your phone and it said, press here if you wish to place an order. And they'll hit that button. Smarter than you think. They need a shepherd. I said they need a shepherd. And that man, prayerfully, if he's there, will be that shepherd. If not, then the woman has to stand in his place. Well, I got to be the dad and the mom. But I got to shepherd this child to do what? Trust in the Lord, the same way I'm doing. If I don't teach my child anything, I'm teaching you to trust in God. It is not just because it's on your money. It's amazing to me how many people don't want God in this, don't want God in that, but they ain't taking God off their money. Every piece, every dollar, piece of change in your pocket has in God we trust. I haven't seen one person dig in their pocket, I don't want God. We don't need God. Never seen it, Elder Brooks. Not one time. Don't want God, the Ten Commandments in the school. Don't want it in the courthouse. Don't want it in government buildings. The ones that's picketing, get the Ten Commandments out of the building, got money in their pocket that's got in God. But they ain't throwing that away. They're not ripping up them green dollar bills. Better trust in God. And learning how to trust in God, knowing God, has to begin in the home. If you're dependent on the church to do it, unless maybe you're a single parent, you got to work 2, 3 jobs, and you look past, I don't have time. I'm trying to make sure we eat. Okay, I get that. Then we will do the best we can. But not everybody's got to work 2, 3 jobs. And let me make this plain. Not everybody got to work on Sunday.
That's so true.
Now, you may have the opportunity to work on Sunday to make some extra money, but you don't have to. Nobody's commanding or making you. God sees that. He says, look, you don't know how much I love you. You're still pursuing money more than me. You'll get up in church to testify I gave you a job. and then deny me by going to it. Sacrificing your relationship with me. That's why I say anything you lust after, eventually, it'll wipe you out. Okay, let me, that last couple of verses, I can't get through all this, but don't worry, I'll be here next Sunday. God willing, and the creek don't rise, okay? Don't say that. You done had a creek rise, you just got it back in his house. His house got flooded out. I said, don't you say that. Just say God willing and leave it at that. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge. Now, that's not just words, your body language. I mean, watch this. I'm going to sit down for a minute. I'm going to give you an object lesson. I've seen people do this in church. Praise going on. You're not acknowledging God. Your body language is not acknowledging him. You're saying you're bored, you want out of here, you're ready for this thing to end. Service supposed to be over at 12. Okay, we started 30 minutes later. So about 12:30, we will be up out of here. Don't ask me about no fasting. I ain't fasting. I'm going to TGI. I'm going to get me some ribs. I'm going to Cracker Barrel and get me some Cracker Barrel, whatever they got. And their body language tells God they're not interested. So it's not just your words. It's not just talking about God. My projection should acknowledge him. When the man or woman of God is ministering, I'm focused. You got to say, I'm interested in what you have to say. Even if what you have to say doesn't apply to me today, it's for somebody in here. And I've often said this, every Sunday don't have to be about me.
That's right.
Hey, God, if there's a visitor here today that need a word from God that I don't need, go ahead and minister to him. I'm not going to say, well, I heard that before. Well, I ain't like today's service. Pastor ain't going to say nothing. Wow. Now, I had this need. I went to church. And the pastor, he didn't even hear from God to minister to me. Oh, why? Because he's ministering to the other person.
Right.
And God says, you've been in this church for a number of years. You've been in this church over a decade. I'm going to bypass you today. It's not going to be about you today.
Right.
Don't worry. I'm in your house.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be in your heart.
Yeah.
You got to come to brick and mortar to hear from me? Really? What do we have? You got to drive to a building to hear from me.
Come on, Bishop.
Oh, I'm putting my nose down. I got to close. I mean, think about that. The mindset that I got to go somewhere for God to talk. Instead of me just being available, talk to me in the night. Talk to me in dreams. Talk to me while I'm sleeping. Talk to me when I get up in the morning. Talk to me when I go to bed. You can talk to me anywhere at any time. Talk to me while I'm preparing meals for my children. I don't need to go anywhere. I need to listen. No matter what I'm doing. Sometimes, God, I got children. I got to feed them. I got to dress them. I got to bathe them. I'm busy. I don't want to be this busy, but I am. But God said, I see your talk.
Yeah.
I got you. I understand your frame, and I know your situation. And I still can talk through all the noise. But you got to be willing to listen, because God is not listening for you. Then, once you listen, you have to obey. Don't leave obedience ever out of what you hear. We live in an age where people want to hear, but they don't want to obey. They don't even like that word. That's a four-letter word. Ooh, pastor up in the church cussing today. I went to this church and the pastor used a four-letter word. Obey. mean, think about it. I mean, children don't like it. Parents, people, even when we grow up, we still rebels. Don't like our employer telling us to get to work on time. That hit a nerve, didn't it? And all that employer said, wait a minute, I'm paying you. If I pay you to be here at 8 o'clock and you get here at 8:15, but you still take the money. Last couple of minutes, we're done. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And in acknowledging him, it says, and. That's a connector. This is a conditional promise. Most of God's promises are conditional. Every promise is yea and amen, but God, especially in the Old Testament, God says, if. If. First commandment of promise is what? Honor your father and your mother. God says, if you do that, guess what I'll do? I'll give you a long life. Guess what? But you better honor them. Because if you don't honor them, I'm not obligated. Even though the promise is yes, and so be it. It's yes, and so be it, but you better do your part. What's my part? You don't know what kind of parents I have. Oh, yes, I do. God said, I know exactly what you got. And some of them don't need to be parents. I didn't say like everything they do, but you still need to honor them. You know why? That's for your benefit. I'm trying to get you through. I'm not trying to get them through. They may be a heathen. I'm trying to get you through. Honor them. Well, Pastor, how do I honor them? Don't dishonor them. The best way I know how to put it. You want to know how to honor your parents? I'm talking about some ungodly parents. Don't dishonor them. Don't you talk to other people about them. You don't like what they do, you don't like what they say, but you don't need to go broadcast it on Facebook. Keep it to yourself. Okay, God, I don't necessarily have anything nice to say about them, but I'm not going to publicly destroy them. I'm not going to dishonor. Why? I want a long life. You know what else, God? I want a long, good one. And if this is the way you say I got to do it, then so be it. I'm good. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. This is my close. Fear the Lord. That people don't preach today. Pastor, what's the greatest problem seeing in the church? We love God, but we don't fear him. Jim Baker, PTL, went to prison. Someone asked him, when did you stop loving God? Mm-hmm. You committed adultery with the secretary. Your ministry is now gone. Jim Baker said, I never stopped loving him. I just didn't fear him. David's got the Ark of the Covenant. They're coming back. It's been recovered. They put it on a new cart. Oh, we're going back to, we're going to have ourselves a party. We're going to party up in here. We got the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God. And on the way back, hitting some rocks, and this man named Uzzah, who's just totally as innocent as he can be, he's chosen to be the one to bring the Ark back. So, you know, he had to be, oh, man, you picked me? I'm nobody. And you want me to be the one who I'm no... And it hits some rocks or whatever, and he just reaches out just to steady it. Didn't mean anything wrong. Hey, I don't want it to fall and break. And God, the Bible, not the devil, struck him. And David stopped in his tracks. Oh, wait a minute. Now, I thought I knew God. But I ain't seen God this way. Let's stop in our tracks. Let us evaluate and seek the Lord. What did we do wrong? And you know what he found out? I know what we did. The Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be carried by the priests on their shoulders. The priests represent what? Intercession. And it wasn't supposed to be put in a new cart. Put it this way. It wasn't supposed to merge with the way things are done now.
That's good, Pastor.
The priest still had to carry it. Principles, like I said last night, principles don't change. The presence of the Lord comes in on the shoulders of the intercessors. The greatest people in this church is not the one that's got bishop on his name. Who are the intercessors bringing, when they come in this building, they got the presence of God on their shoulder. And they're not coming in with a new cart. You seen it that way, you heard it that way. God is never old-fashioned. You're still looking for, I'm looking for one that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Who's that? Who can carry my presence? You may be a deacon, but it doesn't come in on the deacon's name. You may be the bishop, but it doesn't come in on the bishop's shoulder. I'm looking for the one who will not put me in something new. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't you try to bring me in on something new. I'm the same. Now, I'm new to you. But I'm the same. Father, in Jesus' name, we're done. New Year's, we're beginning our 21-day fast. Now, it's communion. That's how we started every year. Been doing it for over 20 years now. We begin our fast, and we'll come off the fast same way with communion. If you don't know the Lord, ask Jesus to come to your heart today. He wants to save you. He loves you. He cares about you. He knows your name. He knows all about you. He wants to save you. But you got to say yes to him. God, we are not forcing you to go to heaven. As great as heaven is, as good as it is, he will not make you go there. There won't be a single soul in eternity who doesn't want to be there. So ask him to come into your heart today and save you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, to stand up, or make any kind of public proclamation. But this day, this January 1st, 2017, say the prayer and mean it. Tell God, hey, all I have sinned. I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. Save me from myself. I'm not asking you to save me from others. Save me from me. I need you today. Come into my heart. Come into my mind, come into my body, save me, wash me by the blood of your son Jesus. I'm willing to change and be changed. I'm not promising I'm going to be perfect. I'm not promising I'm going to have it right. But I got to start somewhere. Then I got to grow. And if you do that, and if you do that and mean it, God will save you. Like the thief on the cross said, remember me. This man hadn't done a thing for the kingdom. Zero. Hadn't done a thing for Jesus. Remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said,